Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith here. Our good friend Jeff Brown is on the line. As promised, we are changing gears, talking some postseason. First basketball, right after this wrestling. We got some winners here in the winter sports. Penn State beats Notre Dame in the NIT. They're on to, I guess it's the quarterfinals or the third round, whatever you want to call it. So they're a 73-63 winner over Notre Dame. They get Marquette next. And to go into South Bend and beat Notre Dame on St. Patrick's Day, Jeff, there's something special about that.
I'll bet half the Irish nation is not talking to Patrick Chambers right now.
They're mad. He's forsaken them.
But I don't think Patrick cares. Can you imagine? I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. They were going to come in and do some damage in the NIT, and sure enough, they have so far. Did not look overly good in the first round at the BJC, but man, a near-perfect game against the Irish.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's to go wire-to-wire on the road in that one, you know, was important. So there were a couple little nervous moments, I guess, where Notre Dame started to close the gap, trim the gap to three, but stretch, and they finished again. I think that was one thing that Pat Chambers said earlier in the year, was that, you know, they started to learn how to finish. And in this game where you're facing the number one seed in that region, you're doing it on the road, they found a way to finish.
Exactly. And look back at the first round. They played basically the entire first half without three of their starters. And at the end of the first half, four of the five guys who started that game hadn't scored a point yet. And they still hung on to win. And that is resiliency. And, you know, they played a bad game, like a really bad game, and came back and won. And then they go to Notre Dame and they go wire to wire. So that just shows you they can do it both ways. And in addition to that, not only were they missing Mike Watkins for the whole game, they didn't have Nazir Bostic to come off the bench against Notre Dame, and they were still able to pull it out.
Both of those guys, while you mention it, not sure about Mike Watkins. I got to assume that going into the Marquette game, we're not going to see him. Also, I'm not sure what to make of Nazir Bostic. There was a misdemeanor possession of marijuana, I think, was the issue. So there was a suspension there. We just don't know how long that suspension is. We don't know if they're going to have those reinforcements, either one of them, for the next round.
Well, you know, as good as they looked against Notre Dame, I don't know that they need either one, but you know, it would certainly be nice to have them, and certainly make the trek through the NIT easier if they could get at least one of them back, especially for the bench.
Yeah, I think this was another thing. And really, you look at the spacing of the games then, and you're talking about, in most cases here, you're going to have time to recoup a little bit. And you're not going back-to-back-to-back like you did at the Big Ten tournament, for example. So you go into, you have several days. I think, what are they going to have, 4 days rest between Notre Dame and Marquette? And then if you do win that one, then you're talking 6 days rest until the semifinals. This is, the tournament sets up nicely to minimize what I would call maybe their greatest weaknesses.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to help Penn State tremendously. And the further they go in the tournament, obviously, you know, the better the chance that maybe Mike Watkins can return. I mean, I have not heard specifically what his injury is. They've been keeping that pretty much under wraps, but you know, who knows? If it wasn't that serious, then maybe by the semifinals they get to have Mike back, or the finals or something like that, which would be a huge boost to this team.
The fact that they've gotten here without him, they made that little run in the Big Ten tournament without him, well, it's more than I would have expected, to be honest with you. I would not have expected a third win over Ohio State. You know, ran out of steam against Purdue, and now they picked up where they left off here in the NIT. Marquette is next. Tony Carr, Jeff, I think a lot of people are watching how he's playing now with that NBA lens. Should he or should he not? I don't know if the NIT really presents that opportunity to capitalize on a lot of attention and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of people are watching him and thinking, you know, whether it's a lack of passion or whatever. There's a little bit of like going through the motions kind of look. What do you think about him and the NBA and what he needs to do?
Well, he has to determine if he's going to get first round money, because, you know, let's face it, if he would go in the second round, and there are some provisions, some teams will write into contracts if you're a second round pick, but they really believe in you, they'll write in a provision as far as money is concerned. But for the most part, if he can't be in the first round, he's taking a heck of a risk. And I really think he does need another season at Penn State. That's not just the Penn State fan coming out in me, but there are parts of his game that need to be refined a little bit more. He grew tremendously this year. I think he's got some more growing to do, but there's no doubt in my mind that he can be the best NBA player to ever come from Penn State. But he needs some time. He needs some maturation. And you saw it in the NIT tournament a couple of times. He was pretty lackadaisical, you know, especially on defense. That's one of the knocks against Tony, is that he doesn't play defense very well. So, I'd like to see that intensity for 40 minutes. But, can you argue with what the kid does? I mean, just whenever Penn State's needed in the clutch, Tony has come up with a pass, he's come up with a shot, whatever. So it's very hard to knock the kid. But I don't want to see him make a mistake. I don't want to see him, you know, get into the draft and lose his eligibility and then, you know, end up in the second round and doing a crapshoot with his paycheck.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, and this was, and maybe I'm just reading the situation wrong. So Notre Dame loses in the NIT, and suddenly a lot of their fans seem like they're the cool kids now. We're like, oh, good for you. You beat us in the NIT. How disinterested or interested did you think Notre Dame was? And how much of a badge of honor is it to you know, only be losing in the NIT?
Well, you know, I think it's embarrassing whenever a number one seed loses any kind of tournament. You're certainly not expecting it, and Notre Dame has had some success, probably more in the last 10 years than Penn State has. So I think they are. I think it's a little bit of sour grapes and a little damning with faint praise and all that stuff. If you're in a tournament, I think you play to win. And I had told you last time, I think Penn State was going to come in laser focused with a chip on their shoulder because they wanted to prove the NCAA wrong. And then they went out against Temple and just for the first three quarters looked like they didn't care. And I couldn't imagine it. I'm just kind of sitting there shaking my head going, what's going on here, fellas? Come on. And then they found themselves and they righted the ship in the fourth quarter, and it was a cool thing to see. And then you saw what happened to Notre Dame. Maybe Notre Dame didn't want to play. That's okay. I hope three other teams don't want to play, because I'll be very, very happy to watch them raise the NIT championship banner at the Jordan Center next season.
I think they're starting to get weeded out. So as we're sitting here today, number one seeds in this tournament, 0-2. Baylor also lost to number four Mississippi State. So I don't. Maybe those number ones, there's something to it that those are the ones that were closest to the NCAA tournament and didn't get in, and there's, you know, some lingering disappointment. I'm talking to Jeff Brown, Penn State basketball here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. In the NIT, that game, Jeff, against Notre Dame, Penn State, defensively, that's where they're going to make their hay anyway. But for Notre Dame to shoot 4 out of 22 from three-point range, how much of that was Notre Dame? How much was Penn State?
Well, I think it was one of those. Penn State plays great defense. And let me say that first. But I think it was one of those games for Notre Dame. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about it, did you notice at the end of the game? Now, normally at the end of a game, the last, you know, 7-8 seconds, maybe something like that, the teams just kind of quit. You know, and they dribble the ball for the last few seconds and the game's over. Notre Dame quit with 17 seconds left. Now, granted, they weren't going to make up a 10-point deficit, but I can't ever remember seeing a team that didn't play to the end.
They just wanted to get off the floor.
Did you notice that?
Just get off the floor. 17 seconds, and that foul and hope for the best scenario is still too much time to not be trying it.
Yeah, I was shocked. I just sat on my sofa, and what are they doing? And they did it. I looked at the clock, 17 seconds, and they're just walking. I didn't understand it, but yeah, maybe that is signaling that they didn't want to be there anyway, and they just wanted to go home.
Yeah, I think that's fair to assume at this rate. But yeah, 17 seconds, you know, you get a couple missed free throws, and you knock down a three, and suddenly the complexion of it changes a little bit. And it's against the odds 100%, but still, I think that's a good point. Let's look
to the end of the game.
Let's look forward a little bit here. Marquette, two double overtime games in this NIT tournament. They beat number three Oregon 101-92. They've got a couple guys who can really fill it up. It's interesting. They got two guys averaging 20 points. They're both listed at 5'11". So it'll be interesting to see what those little guys can do against Penn State.
But what a job Josh Reeves did on Saturday. I mean, he just shut down the point guards. He did a phenomenal job on defense. Second leading scorer as well. I mean, he's really rounding into a player, and starting to be an offensive concern for other teams instead of just being a defensive concern. But Josh shut them down. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. He's going to have the height advantage. He's every bit as quick as anybody I've seen on the floor this year. He rarely gets beaten. So I think that's going to be a huge advantage for Penn State, is to see what he does. And Shep Garner's playing some great defense as well here in the latter part of the season. You know, the knock on Shep was always, he'll hit threes and then he'll kind of go, take a swipe at somebody. But he's playing phenomenal defense too.
And then it just comes down to how will the bench be an issue here? You know, and I think if Penn State is able to take, you know, a team that relies on two or three individuals to do the bulk of its scoring, if Penn State can take one or two of those guys out of the equation, I got to think that Penn State will like its chances. I'm not sure what the Vegas line is here, but I do like Penn State's chances again to beat Marquette.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And one other player I want to point out, John Hara. I mean, we didn't see much of John Hara throughout the season at all. And, you know, I was kind of wondering if maybe he was a freshman bust or whatever. But, man, he has stepped in. And since they've inserted him in the starting lineup, he's come up with some clutch shots. And he has played some great defense. And, gee, who knows where he's going to be going in the next couple of years. So I really love seeing John Hara come out at the end of the year.
Six rebounds, two blocks against Notre Dame. Penn State will take that all day, every day. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Still talking championships, still talking postseason, talking about Penn State wrestling. 7 titles in 8 years. We'll be right back right after this. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.